Today I'd like to talk to you about John Stephen Young, who was born October 11th, 1961, born in Salt Lake City, Utah, and he's actually a distant relative of Brigham Young, the founder, one of the founders of the Mormon Church. 6'2", 215 pounds, went in 1984, supplemental draft, round one, Los Angeles Express of all teams he played for. And then he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and ultimately the San Francisco 49ers. Listen to this, three-time Super Bowl champion. He was once the Super Bowl MVP, seven-time Pro Bowl, three-time first-team All-Pro, three-time second-team All-Pro, two-time NFL Most Valuable Player, two-time Burt Bell Award, NFL Offensive Player of the Year, two-time NFC Offensive Player of the Year, four-time NFL passing touchdowns leader, six-time NFL passer ratings leader. His number eight is retired for the San Francisco 49ers. He, back in college, won the Davey O'Brien Award. He was a unanimous All-American. And his number eight for the BYU Cougars has been retired, too. He had a ratio of touchdowns to interceptions of 232 to 107. His passing yards, 33,124, completion percentage 64.3, and his passer rating was 96.8. Rushing yards, he was a great rushing running quarterback, 4,239, and he had 43 rushing touchdowns. So this guy was he did it all. He made the College Football Hall of Fame and he made the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and so he's got a lot to hang his hat on. I like this interview as he was talking about how he learned concerning how to handle interceptions, because they're a reality in the quarterback's life. Listen to his story about this.
Two or three times in my career, I threw an interception. That's when you throw it to the other team. And just so we're on the same page. Every time it happened, every time, your teammates have this instinct to turn back and go, what are you doing? You know, why'd you do that? And so when 80,000 people are, you know, grumbling and everyone's turning around to say, why'd you do that? Your natural instinct is to explain it. I didn't do it on purpose. I promise, I didn't mean to throw it to that guy, you know? How many times did I want to go to the sideline at the candlestick and get the microphone over the whole EPA and say, excuse me, I did not intend to throw it to that guy. That ball was tipped by the big, dumb defensive lineman. It was actually a perfect pass to Jerry Rice, but unfortunately, the big dummy got in the way. Thank you very much. You want to explain it. You want to tell him, hey, look, stuff happened. There's intervening circumstances. There's all this stuff that you want to tell especially your teammates. So you explain it. And so for the first 50 of my career, I would explain it, and they'd all go on the sidelines, and they go, and the coach would say, "What happened out there?" And they'd go, "Well, it's not Joe. You know, he's not. We're working with him. You know." And finally, I realized it's not working. Explaining it, which is a natural reaction, is not working. So I changed my tune. Next, and the interceptions come, so you just wait for the next one. So the next one, they turn to me like, "You did it again, why?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, it's my fault, right? The ball was in my hands, and now it's in their hands, okay? I did it. I'm responsible. But I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to the sidelines, get a drink of water, rest up, and we'll come back on the field, we'll go down and win the game. What do you say?" "Oh, yeah, we can do that." They go to the sidelines. Coach says, "What happened out there?" "Oh, well, my guy came early, I let him go and hit Steve as he was trying to throw, and the receiver, well, I was supposed to break it at 10 and I did it at 12. All of a sudden, like, the accountability kind of got flushed into the system. You know, everybody's like, "Hey, if Steve's in, you know, Steve took it because it was his, then I got to take my part." You explain, "Oh, this is what happened, all the sun," and then everyone else is like, well, forget that. It wasn't my fault. It's his fault. These are fundamental shifts in people's behavior in a team. Truth about.
So we see this man owning what he did wrong. And because of that, the response of the teammates was their willingness to own. I think about that with us, or even this passage of scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 12. By now, David has sinned, and it's very evident that he's sinned, and it's not just the fact that he committed adultery with Bathsheba, but Uriah, her husband, gets murdered, and so he's trying to cover all this up, and that's the temptation. And what you find is Nathan the prophet confronts him at the beginning of chapter 12 and uses a story to do it. He tells him a story about a man who had a lot of stuff and had a bunch of sheep. And there was another family where they only had one little lamb, and the family loved this lamb, and the man with all the stuff took what wasn't his. He took the poor man's lamb and killed it and used it for a meal and did whatever he wanted to it. And he got to David's emotions. And immediately David said, "That man should die." And Nathan turns to him and says, "You are the man." And confronted him. And something that I believe God loved about David was that he owned his mistakes. He owned his sins. Because you see him immediately saying to Nathan, verse 13 of chapter 12, he says, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." And so there's a biblical principle to what Young is talking about here. And that is, when I have done something wrong, own it. And that will have ramifications for how other people respond. We don't do it for that reason, but there's a lesson in there for all of us. So how are you doing when confronted with situations that arise in your families, in your life? Do you own what you have done?